brought some with me.
Oh, really? That's the only thing we have left of him, I think.
That can't be. See, yeah. I've always been confused by this. It says guest mic and CD player. So how can you have the guest mic and the CD players on the same slider? Because then you can't have any music.
Right.
So, okay, well,
let me see if we... Can you hear this? Oh, yeah, you can hear a little bit. Now,
you've got volume.
Do you have me turned up sufficiently so that people can hear me over you and I drown out?
Okay, I see what you're saying. Like, you're more important, you should say.
Yeah, I'm the guest.
Oh, right.
So,
okay, I'm going to come around to your side here.
Oh, okay.
We're going to look at the pass.
I'll give you a pass.
And
I can't believe you won't pass me that thing, but all right, fine.
No way, baby. Well, I can't.
Doug is...
Let me do it, and then you don't pass it back, and I'm happy with that.
Okay, I'll take that, yeah.
Now, do I order? And we should have the past of Michael Pepin coming up here in a minute.
Yeah. See, what we're doing, folks, is just this week...
Only this week.
Doug's show has been preempted to put the Michael Pepi show in. And what we're doing is we just digitized 9 3/4-inch videotapes from the 80s and 90s that has been digitized up real fancy, and we're going to watch these videos, and you might be able to hear some of them. I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to hear them.
And you can hear them, and we're checking them to see if the company did it right. So I haven't seen them yet. Doug has seen them.
You know, how long has it been since you saw them?
It's been, they center around, I don't know, 85-ish or so, so about 40 years. Because I didn't watch them that much anyway, but I couldn't. I could watch the half-inch ones, of course, and have, but I can't watch a 3/4-inch video because, you know, nobody makes that machine anymore and nobody has one. Who has a 3/4-inch video?
I did. No, it's weird as I did, and it was from Channel 2. There's only one, two, and it was really old. And my friend said, I went somewhere with my friend to deliver something.
Somewhere? Okay.
And we went into a guy's house, and the entire house was solid and weird-looking antennas and electronics. And he's some kind of weird space communicator guy. And so we delivered the stuff, and then I was looking at a... No, he said,
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
I saw that 3/4-inch U-matic thing that I had in my living room forever, in my kitchen. I said, do you want... And he saw my desire and said, oh, you can have it. It took two people to move. It was a massive piece of...
Right.
Bread. Copper.
It was like a stove. They're freestanding desks, like gigantic desks, which you sit at.
And they open it, and you hit...
And the tapes are horizontal, aren't
horizontal,
they?
Horizontal, and this whole thing goes ka-chunk, comes out of it. And
right.
It had mono sound and F connectors for the sound folks, for those of you that care. And... No RCAs, as we used to call them.
Do you want this back?
No.
Go ahead.
I can't remember what was the old way of getting sound? Were they also F connect? No, they were those things that went conk, conk. Little nipples
like
on the outside.
A key, like,
and it had circular thing. You pushed it in, and then you went chunk, and it held it in there.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't come out during the production.
Yeah.
And the audio was an F connector, which looked like little alligator teeth, and had a long copper wire, remember? And if you broke that wire, you had to
like a joint.
Make it better. You had to fix it like 2 minutes before the production. It was, God.
Yeah.
But I was on Guam, for those of you drinking.
So they were, because you were there in the early 70s. They didn't have 3/4-inch video then, did they?
Yeah. No, you're right. No, the early 70s, this is what I'm saying. On Guam, Guam. I go into finance
said it
in
now.
My super secret squadron, and there's a big like footlocker on the floor, and a little looks like a bread hold, like a bread loaf.
Bread box, yeah.
It's like, what is that? And without even thinking, I just turned to the chief. I said, can I sign that out? I didn't know what it was exactly. It was a one-inch reel-to-reel. You have some of those, right?
Oh,
Sony
yes.
And I think
yes, I have
somebody
one.
Else. Oh, wow. Yeah, so it was that. And I remember I got it home and I unpacked it, and then I did what you're doing right now. And I just sat there for a while thinking, oh, and suddenly came to me, I need to get a TV to see.
To look at, of course.
I was just putting this together. But I called some friends over, and we spent the rest of the night, and I remember just looking at it going, this is, because I just bought the new TIAC 4 channel.
Right.
God, it was all this stuff.
That's state of the art
out.
Then.
Yeah. We were close to Japan and buying the stuff at the exchange. I had two 4 channels, and the one I miss is the Sony 750 or 780, I think it was called the 750, 780 maybe, went in both directions, had a stereo, had sloppy motor, so you could change speed while you were taping.
Really?
So I'd lay down tracks, transfer those to the 4 channel.
Oh, and just click back and forth?
Yeah, it was like you just chunk, and it went, oh, I had this break that brought it down. So then I kind of made rough notes on where that happened, and I have those crossing, you know, like, it was insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And we're doing bad things, you know, to our mind.
Yeah.
But it was very exciting. So
sure.
That was the first time I played with video, and I put that moment of, like, holy crap, this means, like, picture or filming, as we used to call it, is the same as taping now. So,
I'll never ever forget. I got my first tape recorder for Christmas. Well, or actually,
how old were you?
My second. Oh, I don't know, 8, 10, maybe 10 or 12. I don't know. Maybe older. Maybe could have been 14. I don't know. And you know, it was a TIAC. It was a. I'm not a TIAC. Sorry. It was a. I don't know what the brand was, but. You know, it had 3 speeds, and it was big and heavy. That's the important thing. It was big. And
it had 3 speeds, so that's pretty cool.
It had big speakers. Everything was big then compared to now. Now everyone wants small or nothing.
Yeah, for me it was my dad came home from Japan because my parents could go all over the Orient in space-available flights, like just for shits and giggles.
Wow.
And, which they do a lot, and younger, like, young
so
Vietnam
go to Japan.
Pilots were staying with us at the time, except for Frenchie, who was really old, and Captain French. And so anyway, he walked in with this box, maybe this thicker, but that's volume.
Yeah.
And I just grabbed it from him. I mean, I look back at it now, it's like, whoa.
Well, you stole it?
Kind of, you know, because he walked in with, years later, he told me, in effect, he had a whole thing he was going to do with this thing called a tape recorder, because he'd actually had a wire recorder, and he swears I played with it, that I'm somewhere out there, the wires. Yeah, recorded on wires, folks.
That's now, was that a little one or a big one?
The one I'm talking about in Hawaii? It's like about this size.
Right, you know, that little one kind of ish.
Yeah. I edited commercials into long, boring stories that I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
With my mother's pinking shears and scotch tape. So that's tape was going across, shoving
really?
Shit onto the heads. But by the time I got to Guam, I was in heaven, because those simulsyncs were aimed at guitar players. So you could play a lick, and it went right where you needed it to be in the song.
Oh, yeah.
And that was brand new. They put a little tiny playhead inside the record head, which is 2 nodes. So right in the center, man, that was that was life changing.
That was a little more. I never got the simulsync.
I was 12 when that happened, and you said you were about 14.
About
or so.
This 10 or yeah.
So we're all
right,
we probably
there.
Did it exact same moment. You know,
Boston, well, you're 3 years older than me though.
Oh, I am.
That's right. So
I can't hear you.
What's
happening?
Well, that's because you're so old and demented.
The drugs
and
the rock and roll.
Yeah, the MX Ultra experiments. It wasn't Amex.
Amex. Yeah, you had to get on a cargo plane and ship yourself somewhere. It's a credit card. Your brother was in 61, right? Is that the right year? In Denali?
Yes. 61, so 62. Surreal.
Because I know, I found out later from my cousin who did most of the research on the original MK Ultra, not the internet silliness. There was a base on Guam, on the north end of the island, where the weapons testing, the weapons storage center was. And you know who was the CO of that was Booker, after the Pueblo.
Booker?
Booker.
Oh,
he
that
comes
guy.
Home, they did whatever.
Did they retire him or something?
No, he was, he's just going to get back. He knows himself. He's going to get backwater.
He's been a bad boy.
He's been a bad boy traditionally. But he also
wasn't Alaska.
He did this bad thing in the officer corps, of which my father was a part of. He was friendly to his enlisted guys. And that in the Navy, that's not a good thing to do. You really want to keep officers and enlisted
commingles.
Separate. Yeah. Like in Master and Commander, folks, if you ever saw that movie. When they shot that movie, they made two different barracks, one for officers, the officer actors, and one for the enlisted guys, actors. And they treated them like the real Navy, like you are the dweebs, you're the working guys, and these are the special guys.
Right.
And it was really cool. They set that mind frame
it's
up.
It's all hierarchy.
Before you even got, your costumery.
Yeah.
So, good idea. So
like a dog pack.
Yeah. That was... So, we're going to watch...
let's do
early,
this.
Early... these were three-quarter inch U-matic tapes coming off of Michael Pepe's flash drive here. Oh, and I left, by the way, I left all the numbers here at the beginning. It's all 0, 1 through 9, because those correspond to the numbers on the outside of the box there. On the beginning here.
Wait, what are you saying?
See right here?
Oh, yeah.
0, 1, 0, 2, 0, 3.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so those are those numbers.
That's a number?
Yeah.
Oh, the little, not the little square. I thought you were talking about the square.
Oh, yeah.
Thing. What is that thing?
That's the keyframe. So this is little ones. Those are those numbers on the boxes out there.
Oh, okay, box numbers.
So I'd leave those numbers up until we get the actual. These are the ones I figured out from what's on there. So ultimately.
Is this my flash drive?
Yes.
Oh, great. So I can do that at home.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
With the numbers on the tape and the numbers on the file.
Yep. I just wanted to get some serious titleage for myself. Okay, let's watch this.
Let's start with number one.
Okay, number one. There it was. Okay, that's
now,
all.
Now, folks, we're going to go back in time. It's like the time tunnel.
Hey, come on, man. This is tonal.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
You don't want to talk during tonal. It'll wreck the whole project.
Conelrad.
Yeah, Conelrad.
That's right. We're just adjusting the color for you, folks.
So, and we're going to torture you just like we were tortured.
That's right.
You have to listen to tone.
And you're
going
to have to listen to the little thing with the three circles going around that goes
That's the guy in there. Oh, look, there's young Michael Pepe.
Oh, here he is. Okay.
Miles west of the old Sprint place to the
bridge. Oh, it's too low. Can't you bring it up? No?
Said something about finding a man.
Turn that shit up.
Now, y'all know as well as I do, man. That means he's gunning for Gummagillion. And that means he's headed for Dodge. And when he gets there, Gummagillion, Big Boy Simpson, Doc Burke, and Gimpy McCraddock are gonna be waiting for him. And they ain't gonna be throwing no teapot at it. Hold it right there, Casper.
No one gets that.
Now, let's see
Casper Weinberger.
That cruise missile down real gentle.
And
strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord.
Yeah, that's not
the
bad.
The Lord was not in the wind.
Yeah, it looks great. For,
and after
for
the wind
half
was an earthquake.
Old.
But the Lord was not in the
earthquake. Well, that's 3/4 inch. That's what it's so.
And after the earthquake was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire.
I mean,
and after
really
the fire
nice
was a still, small voice.
for something
you,
that old.
This has to be by Friday.
You can see.
I mean, the tape lasted that long. That's the thing. You magically. This stuff was professional tape, so it was really calendared to be excellent. But I'm still surprised. It looks this good after.
Yeah, and you can.
By the way, what are we looking at that nobody can see?
This is 43 characters. And I think we're on the third one now.
How did you make the tape?
Well, that's what's interesting is that you can tell there's no cameraman. He set up the camera. I don't know why he decided to do it this way. But this is Glenn Scantlebury, the guy who helped edit Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Damn, that's a great movie.
Yeah, wonderful. One of the best movies, horror movies ever, I think. Yeah, so I was surprised to see his name up there. Anyway, so he's a friend of mine, and he took us to this. He had a job at this $500 an hour recording studio, and that was back then, 40 years ago. And we stuck in during the night. We just snuck into the place. And we were real quiet. There was no security.
Wow.
And we just set the whole thing up. It's like midnight.
Yeah.
And we're sneaking around. We like, don't turn on the lights too much. Yeah. Exactly. And but he set it up to where he just set up the camera and he set up a monitor so that I could see myself in it. And he said, you keep yourself in the frame. Make sure you stay in the frame. That's all.
He had to go on a date.
And I'm just going to watch.
Yeah. He had a date to go on.
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Like right here. And I'll see you at 10.
And I was like,
maybe so you would get busted and the cops ran in and you're doing this.
Right. And I'm doing that. And I'm like, I don't know where I am.
Now, I notice you look like you're wearing a... an umpire shirt almost.
Oh, you know, I got that same shirt on that I had for the all-girl wrestling. Well, that's bad.
Wow.
Because that was like 10 years later.
When I first got 10 years later? What year is this?
I want to be successful in something.
See,
I want to make some notes
as far as it being.
See, that's why I brought in the tapes, because can you grab the box? Because I'm
a revitalized
my headphone,
a salvage person who is on lines, and everybody wins from that.
He put it on
purpose and got my ethics in, and dynamics aligned.
If I can salvage as many people as come across
my line. You should turn it up a little.
Oh, yeah,
as FSMs, we can reach out into the field physically, and we can be these people.
Okay.
And I found this, so I'm returning it to you
setting
now.
Setting yourself up as a turnout for these people.
On Hyde Street.
Helps them up the bridge.
Of all places. Wow. And it's your phone number.
I was an electrician.
Oh, wait. If it's Hyde Street, then it has to be 85 or later.
Internship. I felt that it was an old one.
Yeah. Where does it say Hyde? Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, and your return. If found, man, I found it. I'm going to keep it, but if that guy is still alive, I'll...
I still had my old phone number, Promfuck.
Oh, right.
That was my phone number.
That was great.
P-R-O-M-F-U-K.
When I met you. I just listened to answer tapes. I'm going through my answer tapes and taping them. And you're calling me probably for the second time. It was 89, not 84. Remember I called you?
Okay.
I thought it was 84.
All right.
It's 89. And I was digitizing then. Sony had cranked out the very first version of one of those recorders.
Oh, really?
This thing, yeah. And I didn't know what it was.
Oh, the camcorder.
No, this thing.
Oh.
The recorder that I use for
show. Oh.
It was the
that
D,
came out
the 89? D100.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's totally miniature.
Yeah. The tape recorders were on the way out, and...
you could fit one into a thing the size of your iPhone?
Yeah, if you had to.
Wow.
Oh, no. Well, you can't put it in there. The iPhone's like this.
Well, yeah, but I've seen iPhones that are bigger
than
that.
But, yeah, that was the first year Sony put out, and people were always asking me, what is that?
You know, yeah. And that was you were recording digitally then.
I knew that was the next
step. You had a PC?
No. No, I didn't think it was.
How did you have
4 or 5 years? I would record it. I would capture it, and for use on KPFA or wherever. But I didn't. I had no way of editing it really or anything.
Yeah.
The 50, you could do rough edits. You could cut stuff and combine stuff. So if you worked really carefully, if your workflow was led that way, you could do it.
Yeah.
So
I'm putting them in order.
With the fame you have and the money, you should hire somebody to do this.
I know.
Just
I know.
And then come back next week from Switzerland.
I should have like a groupie do it or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, and just come back from Switzerland and look at the tape.
Yeah, we just at a party and 30 people were burned to death.
What I'd like to know personally, what the hell are you talking about on this?
Hey!
Turn that shit up. I keep saying it.
I got a fire.
That doesn't look like Leo Sayer.
Don't want to be bothered with all the bullshit.
And who are the 42 characters?
Now, there.
Yeah, how many? I forget.
43. Now, once you just.
Well, in fact, I fudged it a little bit because I think five or six of them are actually sections of songs. But I didn't want to say, 36 characters and 7 songs. I mean, you got to have a punchy title, you know? Okay, so I got them in order now.
Boy.
I take
don't be shit your mouth right now, you cold bitch.
At some point, I'm going to record this and speed it up.
Can you say what?
I'm going to speed it up.
Meet Danny Farmer, school party.
Just see what he's really saying.
Hi,
Barry Paul.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, was it drunk? He's supposed to be drunk.
Drunk as a fucking
skull. Yeah, it works.
White House, peel him out, fish tail and leave him.
It's definitely not acid. Might be
that. Oh, this is someone from, Leominster.
I don't like drinking smoky shit party.
From Boston, from near Boston.
The cops come. You know that cop, the new cop with the red hair from Melrose?
Melrose.
Tommy, get out of the car.
And then there's Danvers.
Fucking Tommy Robinson.
Fucking Leominster.
With his fucking Miller and his fucking
bastard?
Ian, right?
Fucking Miller. Well, we're partying.
He robs it. No, that's not all. Listen to this.
They're partying.
He robs it in the fucking parking lot. The fucking splashes all over the fucking cop's shoes. I'm gonna shit my pants. Well, you know, they be drinking and dancing and carrying on and smoking
and
ganja
was on the radio.
And talking about the root rock reggae. But you know, on Sunday morning, they be
like the
getting
reggae.
Up and they be praying at the top of their lungs to Jah Rastafari. And they see E.B. talking back
E.B.
to them.
Talking
but
back
they are real
them.
God in the
they
sky,
real God.
In the Bible. They are real father of all the people in the world. E no Jah Rastafari.
No.
And he's not going to be listening to that.
Yeah, a lot of these characters I got off, from the radio. What do you call surfing the radio? I had that tape, about 20 minutes of Sunday morning radio, 1982. Did you? That was one of the ones that we digitized. And it was, it's great. All these preachers.
I don't remember that one.
There used to be so many crazy preachers.
That was something my dad turned me on to. He hated organized religion. But when we visit places like Kentucky where he grew up,
everybody
he turned on the Sunday preacher guys
to this
say,
hotel,
listen to
pay on 10:30 the rent. $40 or must leave
yeah.
from
rock
the
roll
hotel.
Came from.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah. Incredible,
people.
I know.
When he was a kid, Smithsonian
for 1 week,
and
$40.
A couple of,
the money here pays
there were a couple
for
of,
$40 1 week the room.
Groups that would go up into the hills
no
and record
visitor.
Old,
no,
old singing, old. Song,
the
song. It's,
day,
they were doing an electronic version of what Mr. Carter and the Carter family did when he song catched. He'd
no
wander around all through West Virginia, Tennessee,
you
and
mean
Virginia.
Pa, you know, Daddy.
Sleeping time,
well, there was a married couple and a cousin who formed the Carters.
Exactly. Yeah. But
so
was,
the guy in when they were back there in the hills, he would wander around and absorb, and then he came back and sat down and wrote the songs that they sang.
Yeah, yeah.
And I forgot why, but they
incredible.
I know at one point there's a lot going on there. There's a lot in the story that I won't tell you about. And then they finally get to a point where The XKRE in Mexico says, will you guys come down to be the house band? So, okay.
You come down to what?
To be a house band. And
house
the most
band.
Powerful
oh.
radio station in all of North America. And so they can be heard all the way up to Canada because they're just over the border. Many of you listening right now will never forget that you didn't hear Wolfman Jack on that station and people like that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because he just covered the entire country. That's how he
oh, yeah,
famous.
You talked to one that's over the border in Mexico.
So they went down there and became
watts,
the,
right?
the house band for yeah. that station, in
that
effect. And they had the woman... The third person, the cousin, had moved up to. I turned it down while we're talking. Believe me, when you edit, you'll like it. But anyway, she the woman wrote a song and went into the studio and recorded it by herself in the middle of the night. And her lover, her another cousin, I think. Lived in Stockton, had a hotel. He got in the car and he drove all the way to Mexico, like 51.
Really?
And got
it. Oh, yeah, right. And they got back, they got together.
And they ran the place in Stockton until, I think, 2002 or so. Amazing. But May the Circle Be Unbroken, that's the album that has the whole story of Poco, Flying Burrito Brothers, The Birds, all those guys that are kind of getting tired of rock, of straight rock. Are right. going over and doing...
started doing country.
They went to country. Yeah.
And like that, Delaney and Bonnie.
And Jug Bands and all those guys. Yeah.
Well, The Band, of course. That was almost country right there.
Yeah, but they didn't go out... This is like... Oh, geez, I was just... That's too bad. I was just with...
The Flying Burrito Brothers. That was another one.
I said that. Yeah, and that was Birds. Those were the people... Those Birds' level were breaking up, becoming Flying Burrito,
right.
Graham Parsons. And they go over there, and it's... Now, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a chairman of the board there, a guy who's... it's not Roy Acuff. But there's somebody who's considered the father of it all. And he says, I'm not...
I think it was Roy Acuff.
Maybe, okay. And he says, I'm not hanging out with the hippies. And then the hippies, so to speak, it's all these people that just want to figure out that beautiful music of the hills.
Yeah.
Come together, and they're writing their buddies saying, you got to come down here. These guys aren't here to steal our music. They're here to figure it out.
And to worship at the feet of Nashville.
And some of those guys from Flying Burrito and Poco went and found Mrs. Carter. She was a nurse in an old people's home working. And they said, no, you got to come with us and get back and show us what you did in those
days. Did she do that?
Yeah. So the album is called May the Circle Be Unbroken. And it's where all that stuff kind of crashed together. Yeah.
That's the beginning of country music right there.
Nope.
Those Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family is country music.
And if you watch Ken Burns.
Yeah, that was a great documentary.
Yeah, it starts with
wonderful.
These people start radio stations, and now they got to have the people to do the radio stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So they start hiring bands, and they hire Bing Crosby.
Solo musicians, singer-songwriters, and live, always live. And finally, the New York Times started to pay attention to it. They found out about the Fiddler's Ball or the Hullabaloo, but it was, I don't know if it was in Nashville yet. And it was just one particular radio. Maybe it was that one in Mexico. What did you call it? Were there call letters?
XKR.
It's a whole education on training as a child.
Is this not a W or a K?
No, it's not in the States.
Absolutely. Right, of course. XKX.
What is Wolfman on, folks?
Tommy, get your hand.
No, but he's 50 years, 40 years later.
Yeah.
I mean,
But that's where you'd hear the call letters more than. I didn't hear any of those guys. Casey Kasem or Wolfman. Any of those
KFRC.
I was listening to Armed Forces Radio.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't they have call letters?
That was AFR. And they had, you could still get them in surplus stores. They had records that were this big.
Yeah.
They were 1 hour each. And they were steel covered with resin label.
The last glow.
And they'd sell them in the surplus stores. I remember South America.
So 1 hour of what? Of the radio?
Of 1 hour of Armed Forces Radio.
Right. Okay.
When the weed grown rocks around.
So that's what was the inspiration for me.
You know, that's probably a big antique item now, very valuable, if you could, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like from the war, from World War II?
I keep thinking to this day, what would people do with those? It's just a big round steel plate.
Oh. With a cool label. I thought it was music recorded on it.
There is. It's got resin on it.
Oh, but like, you can't read it. How are you going to... Can you play it?
You need a tone arm that can go farther out because it's big. It's not that big.
Right.
It's another inch.
So it's so big nobody has ever even tried to put it
Yeah, they went on the... Yeah. You know, everything's military, so they went on this... It was a normal... I had one as a kid, a normal record player, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Giant, remember they had those steel... You could hit them and they had a cool tone.
And he opened the thing,
the turntable.
Oh.
I had a kid one
yeah.
that a bonding shred that had a really and it went around
the
and
became like blood.
Yeah, it had and you have those little resty like things, so you take your tone arm off and put it on the resty thing, you know.
Yeah, right.
The band that dare not speak its name in Seattle, I found a kids exercise yard exercise record mic combo because it was you could put a record on and it had its own volume controller probably with the music
and sing with it
and yell at the kids
talk
it's like you're doing what push-ups and stuff. And that was part of our band because I played I sang through that from behind the drums and I think
really
I think Gary could,
I was a drummer too a drummer singer. Yeah, we had a band that had like nine different names. One of them was the Shrieking Skulls, and we wrote the first songs I wrote were all about my family, like Dick Pepe is an evil man, and just to get back at him for something and. My sister, the Ballad of Blip.
He said,
because that was her nickname. Anyway, all that, and we played. But we played regular music too. We did Inagata De Vita.
Devo. No, none of us did Devo.
No, but Inagata De Vita.
You are younger than I am.
Yeah.
Ours was Hey Joe.
Were you too old for Inagata? You weren't too old for Inagata De Vita.
I was in the sense that it didn't intrigue me. I'm sure it worked on my brain.
68, I think, or 67.
And how old were you?
So I was 13 in 67, anyway.
So we're the same age because in 66. I'm 14 when I go see my first concert, the Rolling Stones at the HIC.
Really?
Yeah.
That's your first concert?
3 weeks later, the Monkees is my second concert.
Oh, my God.
The whole, like, the arc of real...
Oh, no wonder you're into them.
I'm into the Monkees because the songs are incredible, and the music was performed by the Wrecking Crew, and it was this artificial product. I like the pop craziness of the fakeness.
The Bulldotta.
Yeah, I love the show. I look at it now, it's kind of painful.
Yeah.
But the music's still great, because the first two albums were done by pros. Then the third album's the actual Monkees, and I can remember getting serious and going, okay.
Now, I don't know why I didn't watch the Monkees. That was a little earlier, maybe, 65, 66?
It is earlier.
Yeah, and maybe it came up like at the same time as Batman.
I think it did.
Nothing can compare, no way I'm watching.
I talked to a chaplain
watching
of the
Monkees
Navy
if
who,
I can watch Batman.
Was giving me a recommendation for school. And he was just
for college, you mean?
For boarding school.
Military, yeah.
Yeah, and he's
bong.
And it was one of those regular questions, like, what do you like to do? And I mentioned I watch TV and Batman. He flipped out. The Batman just flipped him out. It was like a violent version of my dad. My dad got commanding officer at Barbara's Point. One of the first two things he did was no motorcycles and no comic books on base. And I was astounded. I had this argument with him. I'm 11 years old. No comic books.
Corrupted America.
That generation really got that in them.
Oh yeah.
So he was horrified.
We were told. Yeah, we were.
I was lucky if I got
the
what were the semi educational ones. There was one.
The Classics Illustrated. Classics.
They'd buy
me
those. So it's like okay. I'll take that.
Oh, those were sensational. Yeah. I mean, those were even better. I mean, in a way, although not as exciting, but you could get them really cheap. And, you know, that's why that's where I discovered World War II. That's where I discovered the Civil War. That's where I discovered, you know, what do you call the Hunchback of Notre Dame and the Count of Monte Cristo and Kidnapped and Robinson Crusoe. And they had everything. You don't even need to read the book.
Right, it was, yeah, it was the Cliff Notes.
Because they were good. I mean, they didn't, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a critic.
No,
they in that
were, it doesn't matter. Right, no, it doesn't matter. When you're a little kid, they were pretty good. Yeah.
They were very good. It was a good story. And, you know, it didn't seem, it wasn't less entertaining than the superheroes. It was just different. You know. But then they had, oh, I don't know, the building of the railroads, probably. They had everything. Lewis and Clark. Some of them were thick, too. Like about Lincoln.
Look, he's he doesn't care anymore.
Yep.
In that. He just...
Oh, you mean he wasn't really those people?
Well, it's like he fake gave it all, and then it just stopped. And I don't know what he's doing.
He quit.
What's this mean?
He quit.
Michael Pepe was like Spinal Tap of poetry back then.
Yep. Yeah. See, there's Glenn Scantlebury.
See that again.
Famous. Of course, he moved to Hollywood because he wanted to have money.
Well, so, you know, what's cool about that is it means you could get us into parties there.
During that era, you mean?
No, at your friend Glenn's place now.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what we should do.
We should just go to... Where is what I'm looking for?
I remember hanging out with them at the bar on California and Hyde. There's a bar there that's been there for a million years.
That's all I'm on.
You know, it's...
No.
It's too bad people have to go through this journey through the previous historical eras. But, you know, there was a lot going on. I mean, I realize that there's still as much more... There's too much going on now. You know, there was a lot went on before. And we were there, and we won't be here long, so...
just till two or
there's still two, yeah.
Yeah. 2 centuries.
Until we say good night and good morning. That's right, folks, in this very room, Dr. Howland Owl does his Friday night show. Doug does a Wednesday night show, mostly, but, you know, we've taken it away from him briefly.
And
K-Rob no longer has a show, though, right?
No, he comes down here all the time.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, on Thursday, tomorrow night.
He still does the Thursday show?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not always, though, just when he feels like it.
Oh, man. Okay. Right. Well, and tomorrow night is his night, too, right? So that's right, folks. You want to listen to KPFA tomorrow night. Midnight to 3, you have Dr. Reverend Pope K, the Rob that is K, pushing the turntables for your amusement. And is he going to come in there in person, or is he going to phone it in?
I don't know.
You don't know? Because you don't. Do you? Are you going in person? This week?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Now here's
well, let me plug it. So then after K Rob, 3 to 5 is this guy named Puzzling Evidence.
I can't even say his name.
That the Talking Heads named a song after, and Dr. Howland Owl and K Rob and Sarah Goldie and. We've got another guy named Michael Pepe that hasn't been on Reloadio for
Leo
a long time.
Sayer.
Oh, I get it. Okay. All right, so now we've got another clip here. This is one, as you can see, is in black and white. And I'm in a sleeveless T-shirt sitting at a desk and doing weird gestures with my fingers silently at the moment. I'm at a little table. Oh! This is at Valencia Tool and Die, 81 maybe, or 82. Oh my God, I didn't know I had this tape. This is Act Music Spectacle 4.
Nice. Okay, so...
Wow. You didn't even mention this.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Some of these,
this is Act Music Spectacle 4, which was the precursor to number 5, and it's completely different in every way. And it could be performed like I performed number 5, which is in exact sync with a video or an audio. And I tried it at...
Is that... That's number 4. That's what it's...
That's it?
Yep. Okay. Wait a minute. That's what's playing now, right?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. Act Music Spectacle 4. Because the first three were in New York, and I had just moved out here in 80. So this is 81 at one of the Western Front's 6 punk rock clubs. Valencia Tool and Die, Club Generic, Club Foot, Artist Revolution Entertainment, which was the club run by the friend that I videotaped the previous performance in, and two other clubs, anyway. And they had incredible stuff. A big performance out in the middle of nowhere where a guy in a helicopter jumped out of a helicopter with a parachute into the Islays Canal off the coast of, what do you call it? The neighborhood. What's the neighborhood where Cyclone used to be? You know, and Cal Spelicic had his workshop there at Marin Street.
Right. I don't remember. I don't know the names of the areas themselves. Yeah.
Anyway.
But now, it's all cemented over now. How does that relate to this black and white picture? Tool and Die.
Oh, yeah, Tool and Die. Anyway, the guy jumped out of a helicopter into the creek. I mean, it was all these crazy performances. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And there was huge crowds.
This is 81? This is tape number 4 for me.
Actually, no, sorry. It's 80. Wow. It was the first... I had only been here 6 months when I did this one.
Yeah.
And I created it after I got here.
Because he had his Lear Sayre there. Yeah.
Because I had no piano, and I had a piano act in New York, and I was staying at a seedy hotel... in the Mission. I stayed at any number of cheap hotels, $35 a week. And I used to tape record my neighbors and then transcribe what I heard and, the arguments and so on and perform them.
Yeah.
And that's in, I think some of that is in, anyway.
Like Little Man.
Important thing is that actual table, I think, came from the hotel room. And Valencia Tool and Die was a great club where I first met Bob Davis, the great composer and sound designer who toured with Laurie Anderson, which that was a big, big deal at the time, who later went out with Lou Reed. I mean, married, I think, Lou Reed. She's still alive, though, isn't she?
Yeah.
Are you paying attention, Doug? No, he doesn't. He's not listening to us.
Everything
at all.
is for sex, money, or grade.
Yeah, that's all you care about.
Well, I was just thinking about how once I was in a class like this. It was felt like this. I felt like this guy.
I'm typing at the table.
I remember, walking down Valencia.
You're talking about. With Paul.
With Paul, yeah.
Right.
That was the night.
This is the piece I was doing. This is it.
Yeah.
And there's only 2 photographs of it. I thought it was the only record of it. Oh, no. That was the naked one.
What? No, too, because it's VHS.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It's VHS well transferred for the time. 2 3/4 inch. but you've lost all the details. Yeah, because all that detail's gone. And it's also really harsh lights. It's everything.
Right.
It's all we had. And so but it's amazing we had it.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's 43 years later, and folks, you've all been told, everyone's been told, old tapes rot. And the tape, you know, kind of melts. What is this stuff? What's it called?
It's like resin. I call it resin. Yeah. Between the tape, the acetate tape that's carrying stuff, and the layers of extra rare earths that, you know, in effect make the recording part of the thing, those start to break down.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can. These guys bake these, though. So they bake the tapes.
And so they bake them.
They do a good job.
And that's what we've done. So after 40 plus years, we've taken these old tapes. And they tell you that. I turn it up, then I want to turn it down. It's like the dog, you know, he wants to go out, and then he wants to come back in, and you got to open the door again.
So for me later,
but
I want to. That's number four, which to me is just MP4. Cool. So I have a title now, and I want to make sure.
This is number four. Yeah.
Right.
And
I remember. Well, we saw
what was
Paul
I talking
and I
about?
Saw you doing. What's the one where you're naked? White powder. Information whiteout. Right.
I don't know.
Is that the one?
Oh yeah. No, I'm not naked. No, that's.
No, I'm...
This is the piece I did naked. Later. You know, thank God there was no video that night. Oh, boy.
Right, so that must be it, because that's what Paul... 4 years later or something, that's what Paul... There, it's a date, because we were... He and I were putting together the Victoria show. And I had...
84.
Yeah, and I said, I'll shoot Bob. But that means we have to have something on Friday night that has big a blast. People both nights. So Paul remembered you doing this.
Really?
Down on the table.
Oh my God.
I think both of us saw powder coming away, like white powder. And we're standing at the door of this club kind of doing this. And you're doing the thing. And
right.
I thought, that's right. That would be real. Friday, Bots of Bob, and then this guy.
Right.
Know. But instead, he came out and gave the best rant ever. Till to this day, for me, it's the best rant. Advertisement.
4 years later at the Victoria Theater, right?
Partly because it just blew me away. I thought you were going to do naked white guy dancing or something. And instead, you came in this suit and just said, by the way, you audience are the pink ones.
Right, the crowd just roared and they threw things.
So yeah,
they were so mad at me. They didn't like it.
Yeah, and a friend of mine. I always recorded these Subgenius shows in stereo, off the board, off these mics, right? So, we worked for weeks to match up when you turned, because there was a really good 3/4 inch U-matic, I think.
Yeah.
Shot a camera. That guy had a really good camera, and the other shot.
Joe Bullock.
Was it his? Yeah, somebody like Joe Bullock. It was somebody else. They had that that video place in the garage near 16th. And anyway, so so one camera's really good and the other camera's really awful. But we did cover the
Jules,
night.
Not Jules Bayshore and Juliet Bayshore.
Yeah, that sounds.
They were big, and they did. Right down there was also Video Free America.
Yes. Yeah, it was those guys. Yeah.
Was that? Okay.
I believe, because I remember coming to one where they were shooting something and admiring all the, probably this kind of, this era gear.
Right.
And, because that's really heavy. It's just such
that was a great place.
It's such an amazing thing to go in a lifetime from
I know.
And just.
But, you know what? I mean, well. Is it? I suppose it's better quality, right?
Yeah. It's just different quality.
Yeah.
The film.
But I mean, the one we just watched, that wasn't bad.
Well,
and it wasn't digital.
No, but it 81. Has been digitized. You know, like experienced people send it through.
But it wouldn't get better.
It wouldn't get better. Yeah, you're always going to be stuck with what you have. But we can fake better. That's what's scary now to me, because you take a picture on here.
Right.
And it goes to your computer, and there's all these filters and algorithms shaping the thing that you're looking at. So it no longer is like when I took many. I have boxes of black and white shots going click.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then souping that, and then making it happen. It
was oh, you mean into the... Actually, before, putting him into the to develop them, putting
yeah,
in the
I
pan.
I used to love that. Huh?
My brother did that.
Yeah.
That, oh, that is a magical
fun, yeah.
experience, isn't it?
And also, it's so cool. Like everybody would show
be
up
in
for
a
the
dark room,
84 show. I took a bunch of pictures, and then within the next 2 weeks, I could go to the dark room. It was up the street from me.
Oh, yeah. What, and pay had, to get in or something?
Yeah,
oh,
they yeah. had a whole...
And do it yourself?
Yeah, a whole do-it-yourself black and white. And I'd spend, just like in the Navy, I'd spend all day there making tons of prints for friends.
Oh.
And then I'd go home, and I'd send big packets of... You know,
oh.
actual pictures, which I see.
Because your
now.
Parents lived in France?
No, no, this was in at Hillegas, at around the. Let's see, when before I meet you, I'm there in the. I moved back to a place over in, you know, in the East Bay.
So this is the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's during that time.
Oh, so who were you sending it to?
Oh, people I knew, had known in the Navy.
Just friends? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had friends all over.
Yeah.
And started that stuff.
Well, you know,
free,
it's really an amazing process. When I was a little kid, my older brother, I have a brother now passed away last year. Who was,
just, I can't believe this guy made this much money doing this.
I know. Oh, God. That guy's loaded.
Yeah. He bought an island or something.
He's got a place in Malibu, I think.
Yeah,
supposedly next door to Michael Douglas.
Oh, sound effects. Oh, it's pretty cool as you're doing this with no... Where's the microphone?
Just yeah, there's no mic. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, no mic, and no speakers.
Because the walls are so hard, that hard parquet floor, the attack of everything's pretty good.
You mean making it harder to...
No, no, the hardness of this space, this cement, affecting the sound.
Oh, yeah, right.
It at least
it's a little too live.
Back to this.
It's ringy.
Yeah. But it's also...
It's better than a high ceiling.
I like it a lot because I have a rule about the... Oh, see, somebody's tripped over the tripod. There. The... I have a rule about that. The worse the microphone, the better the show. Yeah, I'm not
the
sure
worse the what?
The microphone.
The better the show, yeah.
Like it's AKG.
Oh, my God! I just dropped my pants. But I just zipped it up, so it was very quick.
Maybe that's when Paul and I looked over.
No, yeah. No, the one you guys saw was probably not more than 2 or 3 months later.
It was the night
doing
John
this
Lennon
very
was
piece.
Shot. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And that's why the night John Lennon was shot. I had a gig, a very important gig, that I just prepared, spent... You know, months or weeks preparing for, so I had to go through with it. It's very important to me. So I thought, what do I do? So I did it butt naked. I just was naked the whole time, because you know that's what he was did. You know, and did all kinds of stuff like that. You know,
so that
sleeping
where,
in his bed for
where was that?
Huh?
Where?
Same place, Valencia, Trulandi.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And. Yeah, it is hard to make out.
Can you live inside the earth? Can you do that? Can you live inside the earth?
I guess I'm so used to listening to bad audio that, again, it just seems like a miracle you've got this.
Anything.
And
I know.
Yeah, and then ultimately, you could sweeten it a little bit, you know. You
yeah.
could mess with it and bring...
Yeah, maybe.
And you can knock the booming back and it takes
a long
time.
You can...
It's a pain in the ass.
You can wipe it out in between the sounds, right? Like you can take a noise away from...
There's software to do so much now that it's not that anything's possible. Many things
right.
are. Yeah.
Well, and we'll probably get to the point where you know, like in Blade Runner, you just look at a photo and you can go into the photo.
You go in here and then look this way and see the people and slide in front and see who's in the audience.
Exactly,
I know. My dream is that,
I love that
somewhere in the future is technology that will show the shock waves of the bullets in Dealey Plaza.
Oh,
you know,
really?
AI will do these assumptions and show you where people are, you know, where the bullet tracks are moving through this primitive information that was stored on this little 8mm film.
Wow, I know. Yeah,
it's Blade Runner. Yeah, silliness.
See, yeah, who knows what you'll be able to do? You know, if they get quantum computers working on AI, that's going to be unbelievable. Because, you know, in quantum computers, two objects can occupy the same space. And objects that are millions of miles apart can be in communication with each other. So, you know, who knows? Oh, good Lord. When AI gets a hold of quantum, it's the end of the human race.
Well, and when
they'll run everything.
When you put these online, then wherever these are put online, you know, you're going to be part of AI.
Right.
So make,
cause if people, AI doesn't like it, they'll just erase me.
A lot of people are going to be typing in, make my anniversary party like Michael Pepe was there. And then AI will be able to.
Yeah, but you know, nobody would type that. That's the thing. But if someone did, yes.
You can do anything.
He's hitting himself in the head now.
Yeah, this was pretty amazing to watch.
It's like being...
And it's so fun to watch a big room full of people. Like,
right. Right. Like in the other video, that was the German one. And in the German... Thank God. Because they're all friends of mine.
Oh,
I mean, I know everyone in the audience, of course, because it wasn't a real show. It was West German television calling me to arrange for a special bespoke performance just for them. And they said, invite your friends. So I did.
Oh, screenshot. Oops. I'm trying to fake it.
I don't know.
I wanted to see if that was this one.
I can't believe you found this tape.
Yeah.
What do you mean it's too small?
So this is...
Aufwand.
Aufwand.
Ein Rezitationsabend in der New Performance
Gallery. Oh, there
gallery.
It is. Oh, this... Oh, wait. Now you just switched? Or
just,
was
yeah,
it over?
Yeah. I just want to make sure...
Oh, yeah. That sound is terrible.
He looks like Hitler.
Yeah, turn that down.
Is he doing Hitler?
Maybe
what's
I
going?
Have my own. Do I have my own thing?
It's over there. Yeah, and you can mess around with the... where is it? Oh, it's...
No, I got it.
Not this one. That's,
oh.
That's the recording.
Oh.
It's actually that.
Oh.
Yeah. Never mind. I just turned it down.
Never mind. Okay.
So number seven is the German one. So what's the deal with the German one? Give me some info.
Oh, so yeah, so they said we'll put on. You can put on a special performance just for us.
Right.
And we'll pay you for the one performance, so long as we can shoot it for German television. And you can just invite your friends and tell them it's free. It's a free show. And so that's what happened. And so they booked ODC. The Oberlin Dance Collective, it's got another name. You know that place, 17th and Mission. Anyway. So they had all my friends in the audience. So, of course, they liked it. And it's free. What are you going to say?
So,
but, I mean, can you imagine that happening with American television? No, that would never happen.
Well, yeah,
performance art, and it's like 30 minutes long?
Right, no.
Or 40, you know?
So is there any chance of you ever finding this stuff on looking for it on some kind of archive of Western German TV?
No, you say, is there anything like that on archive? No, none of it is.
Yeah. So what we're going to have to do is like the Beatles and the Stones and all those guys have done, you're going to have to watch this 1 billion times and recreate the entire show again.
Yeah.
And we'll drop that audio into here.
All right.
That'd be fun.
It
looks great, but the sound's really, it's not for video. No.
Yeah.
It's like a sound coming from a PA somewhere in the room.
Well, this is
like, this is great. This is great. Because the light really punches.